If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, or you can follow along on the screen. We're going to have it read in parts today. So,
in those days, a decree went from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him at the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them,
"Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us."
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Well, let me add my welcome to you this Christmas morning. There are a great many faces in the crowd that I don't know, which is pretty much like every week. But there seem to be more people than usual, so it's great to have you here. My name's Matt. I'm one of the pastors at this church. And just one quick announcement before I start. We have a creche facility, a mother's room and a cry room all to kind of my right, your left. So if you've got itching children, by all means take them into there. My two were up at 4:30 this morning, so they were in there from about 2 minutes into the service. So join the chaos in there with my kids. Well, I'm here this morning to talk to you about presents. And there's no getting away from it. Christmas is all about the presents. And I wonder, what presents have you got this year? Have you got any presents? I wonder, there will be some here this morning, I'm sad to say, that might live under the same tyrannical regime as I did growing up. And here's how it went. You had a Christmas tree, you had hundreds of presents underneath it, but before Christmas Day service, you are allowed to open one measly stocking present. That was all you were allowed to open. And so you'd open your little present, and you'd have a trinket, and that would satisfy for all of 2 seconds. And then you'd want to know what's left, but you weren't allowed to open it. You'd have to sit through the service, sit through the preacher droning on and on and on, and then at home you'd be rewarded. And I don't quite know. My parents are here, so you could ask them. I don't know the theory or the logic behind it. It probably went a little something like this. If you actually were allowed to open your presents before you got to church, then you'd be distracted, then you wouldn't be able to focus on the sermon. Well, Mum and Dad, that did not work. Not at all. All you'd do is you'd think about what was lying underneath those wrappers. And so church would finish at 10 o'clock or thereabouts, because we came here, and then we would kind of grab Mum and Dad, and the bigger my brother and I got, literally, the more literal grabbing Mum and Dad would be, would drag them out of the church, hop in the car, get home, and then open the presents. And then it would take no time at all to work out the quality of the presents you had. You might be a kind of a neat person, and then unwrapping presents for you would be a methodical remove the sticky tape, then unwrap slowly. That's insane, right? No, you rip open. You want to know what's in there. And as soon as you ripped open, it took you 2 milliseconds to work out the quality of the gift that lay inside. And you have kind of a cognitive spectrum, don't you? You have a terrible, a bad, indifferent, okay, great, and then, well, second to the top, you have excellence. And I want to talk about this spectrum this morning. I want to talk about 2 points along that spectrum. And the first point, the first category of presence, you could call it, I want to talk about is the wow present. Is the oh my gosh present. Is the I had no expectation I was about to receive this present. Life is amazing. I'm going to die. Now, I've got to be careful. I'm wearing a jumper, so I might get a little hot, so I've got to calm down. I've received one of those presents in my time. It's not that my parents didn't give me lovely presents. They did. I just had far too high expectations. But in 1 year, and I think it was 1990, I received one such present. And I have, if this works, I have a picture of it here. Yes. A late 80s, early 90s Lego pirate ship. Hands up if you have this exact model or had it at home. Anyone here? Oh, yes, we have 2 hands. It was just the best, wasn't it? And so I remember unwrapping this present and I just couldn't believe it. I hadn't even expected, I had hoped, but I never thought it would actually happen. And I was on cloud nine. You could have removed a limb from me that day and I wouldn't have cared. And to show you how much I still treasure this present, let me show you as it stands today in its present state, perfectly preserved. Look at that. In fact, if you flick quick enough, you can't tell the difference between the two. But jokes aside, that was my one wow present. The gift that far exceeds the expectation. And that's what we're dealing with in the chapter, Luke chapter 2 this morning. So I'm going to read a couple of verses where we first come into contact with the present. And it's behind me, but I'll also read it out. Luke chapter 2, verses 9 and following. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you and all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So what's the gift? Well, you've probably guessed it. You're at a church, after all, on a Christmas morning. But the word gift isn't used, is it? There's no language of gift or present. But it's very clear what's on offer in these verses, and it is Christ Jesus. And we know it's a gift, even though the language isn't there, is because God knows humanity didn't deserve it. All things that flow from our Creator God to us as creatures is never earned or deserved. He owes us nothing. But in Christ, as we see here, he gifts us everything. And I want us to see that this is a wow gift, not just because I'm saying it is, but look at the response of the people and the characters in the story. Have a look at the angelic response. And suddenly with the angels, you've got the first angel, he announces it, and then a multitude of the heavenly hosts, with them, angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So first angel that makes the initial announcement is then joined by innumerable heavenly hosts, which means angels and perhaps other heavenly creatures. We're not quite sure. But anyway, thousands upon thousands of these beings fill the sky, truly glorious creatures. And you know they're glorious because almost every single time an angel appears in the Bible, he doesn't look like a chubby cherub with a little harp or a little arrow. He's scary. The angel always starts with "fear not." And so this day, this evening, you have 1,000 of those creatures. It must have been the most awesome spectacle. And Can I just try and recover a word for a moment? This is awesome, not in the sense that that cat is awesome, your hair looks awesome, that Pokemon I caught yesterday is awesome. They're not awesome. This is awesome. This is a visage, a picture so glorious that your face might literally kind of melt off awesome. And this is the response to this news of Jesus Christ coming. You could call it a kind of cosmic wow moment. And it's not just the angels that get excited. The shepherds hear this, and so then they hurry away to Bethlehem, excited as you would be. And then verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. All who heard it wondered. Now that's not wonder in the sense I wonder whether I should wear socks or sandals or socks with sandals. Of which, no, that's not an option. That's not the wonder. This is wonder as in be in wonder of, be amazed at. So you have these, everyone wondering, perhaps bystanders wondering. And then in 19 and 20, we see Mary and the shepherd's response. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So you've got Mary treasuring the gift that's been given to her, and then you have the shepherds glorifying and praising God. They would have been on a massive spiritual high as they returned to their flocks and sheep. So everyone in this chapter, angels, bystanders, shepherds, Mary, they get this is an epic event. And notice, for the shepherds, it's not just what they've seen, because what they've seen is indeed spectacular, but it's also what they've heard. Glorifying and praising God for all they'd seen, yes, but had heard and seen. And so what specifically had they heard? Well, let me try and condense down the message for you, picking up two of the verses, 11 and 14. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The news, what they heard is this, that this child is going to be a Saviour, who is God's King. That's what Christ means. You've got Saviour and King, and then Lord, and Lord means God. So this baby is going to be a Saviour, a King, and going to be God himself. And then in 14, he's going to bring peace. So I put it, let me put it in an equation for the engineers. The gift equals Jesus, and Jesus equals God himself come as King to bring salvation and peace. That is the heart of the whoa moment and the whoa present. And here's the thing. That makes sense, right? That actually is a wow moment, because there is nothing more glorious, more spectacular, more expectation destroying than the news that the infinite became infant, that the eternal became temporal, that the all-powerful on his throne became powerless in a manger to offer life, reconciliation, peace, and salvation. It is a massive whoa moment, as perhaps you'll be aware of this guy, as late night Stephen Colbert show host, Seymour Colbert, said, God becomes man and then rises from the dead. That's never going to be a snoozer. And true that, Mr. Colbert. Well, that sounds great, right? But my guess is for the majority of people, maybe not here, but in the world around us, it's no longer that wow moment. For many, the shock and awe and majesty has been replaced by another response. And what response has replaced the woe, the wow? Well, it's the same response that many of us, when we get, the same response we give when many of us get these gifts. Business socks, puppy calendars, scented candles, and soap. And how do we respond to these gifts? Oh, really? It's the groan of, indifference, isn't it? I mean, no child wakes up 4 a.m., as many do, Christmas morning, thinks, oh, please, please, God, another scented candle. That's all I want this Christmas is another scented candle. No mum probably prays that either. I'd kill for another pair of business socks. I'll never say that. It's that groan that, oh, we emit when we admit that the gift we're receiving is one we don't care for. And for many, Jesus is a gift that many don't care for. A gift that many don't care for. For many, his offer of peace and salvation, as we see in these verses, is as easily discarded as that 2015 Labrador puppy calendar. And we know this by experience, don't we? Think of perhaps some of the conversations you've had. Excuse me, Rob. Do you want to know the news about our Lord and Saviour? Bill, can I tell you the real meaning of Christmas? It's not about presents, it's about God's presence. Oh, really, Matt? Again? Hey, Steve, do you want to come to my church on Christmas? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm washing the dog. I can't come. And there'll be many for whom that is their response this morning that are here probably today. So let me ask you, the groaner here or the groaner out there, those that would dismiss Christ along with the scented candles, can I ask you, why do you think Jesus is irrelevant? What about 2016 could possibly make you think that the world doesn't need God's offer of peace and salvation? Maybe it was the sixth year of the Syrian war that convinced you. Those pictures of widows and orphans, shell-shocked and bleeding. Maybe that convinced you that all the world needs is the UN and wise foreign policy, and then we'll have peace in the Middle East. Or maybe what convinced you that we don't need Jesus was the ruthlessness and viciousness of the American election. Maybe President-elect Trump has restored your faith in politics. Maybe it was the accumulated body count of the terror attacks in Western Europe and in the Middle East that convinced you that the key to the world was liberal democracies, capitalism, and appeals to moderate Islam. That's the key to peace and salvation. Or perhaps what convinced you in 2016 that you don't need Jesus is the fact that your career, your family, and your possessions have finally brought you that inner peace that you've always so longed for. That every night you go to bed free of any guilt or any worry because you know that your relationship with God, with your friends and your family and colleagues is as harmonious as it could be. I wonder what convinced you that 2016 or any other year for that matter was the year where Jesus' offer of salvation and peace was irrelevant as a bar of soap. Now, if you're an atheist here this morning, welcome, we're so glad you're here, or perhaps you might be someone who holds the extraordinarily unlikely belief that Jesus never existed. Well, for you, I can see why. I don't agree with you, but I could see why you would dismiss these verses this morning, dismiss the offer. But for the vast majority of people that are here this morning, who believe there is a God, who agree with every single living ancient historian today that Jesus was a real person, I cannot understand how the Christmas message of Jesus could evoke a groan in any of us. Because looking back at the year that's been, if 2016 has taught us anything, it's that salvation and peace are something that only God himself can give us, that we simply cannot do it on our own. And it is the Christmas message that teaches us that we are not on our own, that God has come to us as helpless babe and as man to offer that peace and salvation. It is this and this gift alone that should make us go, whoa! So let me end. As you unwrap your presents this morning, as you're contemplating your new toys and new trinkets, as cool as that Lego pirate ship is, or that brand new tennis racket, or the PS4, or the iPhone 7, or that trip to Bali is, they are nothing compared to the gift of Christmas. Jesus, come as king to bring salvation and peace. And let me ask you to embrace that. And if you have, don't lose your wonder at how amazing that message is. And we're going to stand now and sing together along with the angels responding to how glorious that is in our last song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.